Today is All Souls Day, and the epistle from today's Mass is taken from the first epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall all indeed rise, but we shall not all be changed, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall rise incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible body must put on incorruption, and this mortal body must put on immortality. But when this mortal body puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the word that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? Now the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Please stand for the gospel. The gospel for this evening's Mass is taken from St. John's Gospel, chapter 5, verses 25 to 29. At that time, Jesus said to the multitude of the Jews, Amen, amen, I say to you, the hour is coming and is now here when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear shall live. For as the Father has life in himself, even so he has given to the Son also to have life in himself. And he has granted him power to render judgment, because he is Son of Man. Do not wonder at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs shall hear the voice of the Son of God. And they who have done good shall come forth unto resurrection of life, and they who have done evil unto resurrection of judgment. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. It seems to me that there couldn't be a more fitting day in the year to have an evening Mass. It seems to fit so perfectly with the theme of today. That theme is our mortality, the sun setting on our life, so to speak. The mortality of man in general. It permeates every aspect of the Mass and the office for today. And this aspect of Catholic devotion has been there from the very beginning. Not only is the feast itself centuries old, but all the way back to the earliest days of Christianity, when the Christians would take the bones, the remains of their fellow Christians who had been martyred, and they would carry them to a place of reverence, a sacred place in the catacombs. Devotion to the dead has existed from the very beginning among the Christians. In several cases, when a plague would sweep through the Roman Empire, it was the Christians going out and carrying the bodies out of the streets and burying them. And certainly I'm going to speak about the Holy Souls today, because it is All Souls Day after all. But I want to speak about this that's not spoken of very much, this important facet of Catholic devotion. I remember years ago, when I was at the university, I was lucky enough to be chosen for this study abroad trip. which was going to go to, among other places, Italy. And I remember sitting there in the class before the trip and listening to a disclaimer from my professor. And she said, "I just want to prepare you. When you go into some of these churches, it's a little morbid. You're going to see a lot of bones and bodies and so on." I remember sitting there thinking, wow, that's how foreign the idea is to the modern world of not only respecting the dead, but what I discovered was when I went there, I saw the reaction of my classmates. The part they found even more strange was this apparent obsession with death. In the medieval iconography, tapestries and sculptures and paintings, you would frequently see images of death personified. Oftentimes holding an hourglass, representing our time slipping away. Lost forever. It was called the memento mori, a reminder we all have to die. In the convents and monasteries, it was common practice to have a skull placed in open view of all the monks or nuns, a constant reminder of where they'll end up. But far, far from the impression that the modern observer has, it was certainly not an obsession with the morbid. It truly was a means of perfecting our life and the lives of those who saw it. That was its purpose. How is that the case? Well, I'm sure you've heard people talk about retrospect giving clarity. As the years go by, we look back and things seem to fall into perspective a little bit. I remember when I was a teenager, this middle-aged woman told me, "I don't care what anyone would offer me, I would never go back to being a teenager." And I was sitting there thinking, as a teenager myself, it doesn't seem that bad. But a few years later, I can start to understand what she's saying. You look back and you see the superficiality, you see your misplaced priorities that sometimes led to mistakes that you had to learn from the hard way. And this is something that repeats over and over again throughout our life. Those who are in the twilight years of their life look back at themselves middle-aged and thinking, boy, I was quite stupid. And when we reach that termination of our life and we look back, things definitely start to fall into the categories that God allotted them. We see the things that are truly important and the things that we only thought were important in those last moments. The things we spent so much time on seem to be worth nothing at that point. When we're face to face with that hourglass, and the last grains of sand fall down. But what if we could gain that insight earlier. What if we didn't have to wait till the end? What if we could avert some of those mistakes that we're going to make early on? We can. And that was the entire purpose of this meditation on death. We place ourselves in that moment when time has run out. And it helps us focus on the goal. And perhaps in those moments, when we're thinking about all the time that we wasted, all those seconds and minutes and hours gone by with frivolous pursuits or diversions, and then we think of the important moments, maybe we'll think of this moment. An hour and a half taken out of our lives for the holy souls. Maybe on our deathbed we'll be thinking, that was a little bit of time well spent. When I tried my hardest to muster all the devotion I could for that brief time I was in front of the Blessed Sacrament. We couldn't spend our time in a more valuable way. The meritorious act of praying for the holy souls, offering our sacrifices for the holy souls, even as insignificant as they might be throughout the day, it far surpasses the average meritorious act. This is because it's not just benefiting one person. We all have a lot on our conscience over the years. We go to confession, we have it forgiven, and that temporal punishment remains. We have to make up for it. And we're going to make up for it in this life or the next. No getting around it. The difference is, when we die and should we end up in purgatory, we will suffer the punishments of purgatory, that cleansing fire, the deprivation of the beatific vision, but we don't get any merit for it. Here we are suffering more than we could possibly suffer on earth. And no merit is won. As the tree falls, there it shall lie, as Father said this morning. No more merit can be won. The only purpose is to cleanse our souls and allow us to enter heaven. On the other hand, when we take our sufferings on earth, even if they are far, far inferior to the sufferings we would endure in purgatory, we can win far more with them. Not only does it remove the temporal punishment due to our sins, just as the fires of purgatory, but in addition to that, it increases our merit. It elevates our final place in heaven, something that all the time in purgatory could not do. And even further, when we offer our sacrifices to the holy souls, two souls benefit, ours and theirs. Father Ward put it beautifully this morning when he said, spend a moment and you can win a grateful friend for all eternity. And should we end up in purgatory, the amount of mercy we receive is equal to that which we showed here on earth. Train your children to pray for the holy souls in purgatory. They might be praying for you one day. You've heard these words that Shakespeare wrote down, but it seems to capture it perfectly. The quality of mercy is unstrained. It droppeth as the gentle rain from heaven upon the place beneath. It is twice blessed. It blesseth him who gives and him who receives. It blesses us and the souls in purgatory at the same time. What an efficient use of our limited time. And what about the holy souls? So we have some grasp of our dependence, some grasp of our need. We know our time is limited. We know that we are constantly praying for help, invoking our Lord and his mother and the saints and angels, asking them to free us from one trouble or another. But imagine for a second, hypothetically, that these prayers that now we offer with such confidence because we know that they will be heard, imagine for a moment that they might not be heard. What if, when we prayed, we asked the Blessed Mother for help or the saints and angels? What if there was a possibility they might just ignore us? Can you imagine the feeling of desolation when we're in such need? Can you imagine the loneliness? It feels like we don't have anyone to turn to. Now you have some idea of the position the holy souls are in. Just as we rely on the church triumphant, the church suffering relies on us. And how often do we even think of them or say a prayer for them? We're so busy. They hope in our kindness, that we might turn our gaze towards them. They're relying on us. Perhaps you'll see a prayer for the forgotten souls. That so many people forget. But not tonight. Here's a way that we can help them. So the church, when it comes to indulgences, it It offers partial indulgences, which remove some of the temporal punishment due to our sins, and then plenary indulgences, full indulgences, that remove all the temporal punishment due to our sins. Wipe the slate clean, so to speak. And usually, when it comes to plenary indulgences, it limits the church, limits these indulgences to one per day. But not today. Today the church makes an exception. We can win a plenary indulgence, not for ourselves, but we can actually apply it to the souls in purgatory. A soul in purgatory. And free them immediately. How do we do this? As it says, if we've received Holy Communion and gone to confession within 1 week, either before or after this day, and whenever we enter a church, we say 6 Hail Marys, 6 Our Fathers, and 6 Glory Bees, we win one plenary indulgence for the holy souls. And there are many people who go above and beyond. I see people here from the earlier Mass, and there are many people that I see kneeling here praying. They walk outside, and then they enter the church again, and they do the same thing. Multiple indulgences that they're winning. But I'm not going to request that necessarily. What if everyone in this chapel before you left, and it's going to be late, but what if everyone took a couple minutes and said those 6 Hail Marys, 6 Our Fathers, and 6 Glory Bees? We could release as many souls as the people kneeling in the pews in the time it takes to wait at a red light on the drive home. How powerful these moments are. So we will resume our Mass, and the moments will pass quickly. Remember, we only get one shot at each one of these moments, so we have to make them count. We have to keep bringing our attention back. Make it an hour and a half worth our time. And keep this prayer in your heart as we continue the Mass. This is from St. Gregory Nazianzen. At the time foreordained and according to the plan of your wisdom, receive today our deceased brethren and give them eternal rest. May you welcome us in our turn, at the moment pleasing to you, after having guided us and left us in the body for as long as you think useful and salutary. Grant that we may advance resolutely and happily towards that blessed and unending life which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. May God bless you.
Dominus vobiscum et cum spiritu tuo. Oremus. Domine Jesu Christe, vis glorie libera animas omnium videlium defunctum.
Sed significe sanctus Michael representer eras in lucem sanctam, quam odem Abrahe promissistis et semini eius, hostias et veces tibi Domine lauris operibus, tu suscipe pro animatus, ilis quorum hodie memoriam.